This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
This is Chris Gundy of the Catholic Review. Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. It's Books and Authors Day on today's episode of Catholic Review Radio. And in the first segment, our guest is Eric Clayton, a parishioner of St. Ignatius in Baltimore and author of My Life with the Jedi, a new book about the spirituality of Star Wars from Loyola Press. Later on in the show, George Matisek will talk with Elizabeth Libby Smith, author of The Coin Flip, a short historical novel inspired by a real event. Eric Clayton is an award-winning author of Cannonball Moments. He's also a prolific writer on pop culture and spirituality and the Deputy Director of Communications at the Jesuit Conference of Canada and the United States. Welcome to the show, Eric.
Thanks, Chris. Good to be here.
Well, tell us a little bit about the book, My Life with the Jedi. How do you connect the spirituality of a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away with our everyday life here on Earth?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm a big Star Wars fan. I always have been.
I presume that.
Yeah, right. It's kind of a necessary to write a book on it, right? You know, and one of the things about Star Wars, right? You have that great scene where Obi-Wan and Yoda, you know, they're just talking about the Force, and the Force is in all things, right? It connects the Rock and the X-Wing and you know, all the people. And in Ignatian spirituality, right, you know, the foundational insight is that God is present in all things. Now, God is not the Force, right? The Force is kind of a nebulous thing, and God is intentionally desiring to have a relationship with us. But the connection there, this idea that everything is holy, everything can be revelatory of our own vocations. You know, I was like, oh, that's a good way to get into Star Wars as something that can then reflect back to us our own lived experience. And of course, Star Wars 2 deals with discerning two different forces, right? The light and the dark. And Ignatian spirituality and the spiritual exercises are all about that discerning between, you know, light and dark, you know, the standard of Christ and that of the an evil spirit.
Mm-hmm. You seem to have read, from what I can tell in the book, just about every Star Wars book or anthology that's been done, seen every movie, every series. When you read and watch, do you sometimes just sit back and enjoy it, or are you always looking for the spiritual connections in there?
Oh man, that's a good, yeah. Well, I think I have a little bit of a problem where I'm always kind of analyzing it and preparing and digesting these things.
Right.
You know, some of this stuff just jumps off the page as like, oh, this is a deep spiritual insight that I might want to pray with or just reflect with personally. I don't necessarily run off and write a book immediately. You know, and I think that's, you know, that hits me. I think other people might react differently. The great thing about Star Wars, George Lucas back in 1977 intentionally made the spirituality of the series vague because he wanted folks to bring their own experiences and their own backgrounds into the film and to engage in that kind of dialogue. And so yes and no, I am always looking, I'm always analyzing this, is kind of how my mind works. But I think it's a real invitation to folks from all experiences to engage the spiritual level of this franchise.
Yeah, I think we all kind of do that. If there's something that we are really good at or are really tied into and we're watching a movie or TV show, you know, it automatically becomes partly analysis. I was watching Alaska Daily, which is a series that was on, and I said, these people know the news business because even things like the spelling of the word lead in the closed captioning was the same way we would spell it in the newsroom, which is LEDE, not LEAD. And it's like, okay, you know, that kind of analysis that goes into it, you kind of see that. Of course, also as a professional Catholic, you know, when I'm watching things like Star Wars or other that, I do catch the religious or spirituality elements of it. I remember when Star Wars The Force Awakens came out, I remarked that the Jedi ghosts are kind of not unlike our communion of saints, where those on earth look to those who have passed on for guidance, for help. You know, does that connection to the dead help us understand life here on earth?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really good good way of thinking about it, because, you know, right, the community of saints is folks that we pray with and through, right, to mm-hmm. better understand both where we're going, but also where we've been. And I think even in some of the newer, you know, iterations of Star Wars, I think Ahsoka, for example, and kind of the curious, you know, reincarnation of Anakin Skywalker, is he a ghost? Is he really there? What's he up to? Shows you this sense of connecting past, present, and future. And I think that's what, you know, I think the community of saints is so helpful, because, you know, it's like, oh, you know, whatever I'm dealing with, whatever we're dealing with, we kind of stand on the shoulders of folks who've gone before. We're all kind of grappling with the same raw experience of reality, and just trying to do our best to make sense of things. And I think that's, you know, what the Force ghosts, again, even in The Last Jedi, you know, Yoda tells Luke to burn the texts, right? Because Yoda is still learning, even in that Force ghost state, you know? So it's, yeah, I think there's some really helpful parallels there.
Mm-hmm. You know, the Star Wars sagas at their heart, at their essence, are about the battle between good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no doubt about that. There's the dark side. You know what? So what can we learn about our struggles with our own dark side as we try to make our way to heaven here?
I think one of the things that Star Wars is doing more and more as the franchise continues to kind of unfurl is this idea that, yes, it's a battle between light and dark, but that so many of the characters actually find themselves on the spectrum of, you know, between light and dark, kind of, you know, these everyday decisions. You know, in the original one, Darth Vader appears, there's no question, this is the bad guy.
He's all
in black, he's against a white backdrop, he's immediately killing people. But then, you know, as we're able to unpack the story more and more, we see the choices that got him there and the choices that came afterwards. And, you know, this, I think Star Wars makes a pretty audacious claim, right? That no one is beyond redemption. No one is ever really gone, right? That great line from The Last Jedi. And I think that's what we believe, right? As people of faith, as, you know, as Christians, no one is ever really gone. Everybody, you know, is redeemable. And I think that's, you know, I think that's something that can really, you know, stick with us from Star Wars as we're trying to live out a life of faith here and now. But then also this idea that, you know, our everyday decisions matter. You know, what we do matters. The ordinary of our lives matter, because that's how we, you know, find ourselves either leaning towards the light or leaning towards the dark. But we always have that chance to try again.
Yeah, I found that was interesting, because in there's a whole chapter in the book about redemption, which I think is valid. And we've got, you're right, there are people who are on that spectrum. You start out with Han Solo, who's not an evil character. He's not a bad guy, but he's, when we first meet him, he's all about greed. He's all about material things and just getting the job done. He becomes a hero. You know, you have Jin Jardin, the Mandalorian, who is a hero, you know, in his own right. Finn, in The Force Awakens, who was a stormtrooper, and a lot of the stormtroopers aren't really very good at their job. They can't hit anything. But he becomes one of the heroes as well. Can we all become heroes in our spirituality? Is that something to strive for? I mean, we'd call it sainthood, I guess.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good question. I think I think we could probably parse the word hero, because it's we don't want to, again, in the Ignatian tradition, right? We say, oh, we don't want to strive for pride, you know, for honors, for right, you know, wealth and privileges. You know, these are things that ultimately lead us to the dark side. If you look at you know, any of these characters, they're heroes because they're serving the common good. They're trying to help other people. You know, they're not heroes in this kind of like Arthurian knight, you know, I am the one who can save you. They're not like a salvific character in that sense. So I think there's something to strive for there. Of course, I think you also have some like quieter characters that are just kind of doing the work of rebellion or of resistance, you know, depending on what era you're looking at. Those characters like your Admiral Akbars, you know, are they the heroes of the story? They're not, but they make really, really important decisions and really, you know, brave choices and the work continues. So I think, yeah, I think we are all in some ways, you know, heroes of our own story, but also, you know, heroes among heroes. And we have to, you know, build that community with that in mind.
Mm-hmm. You're pretty steeped in the Ignatian tradition. You work for the Jesuit conference. You talk about Ignatian spirituality a lot in the book. Do you bring your Ignatian stuff to Star Wars, or did Star Wars bring you to the Ignatian realization?
I think I'd bring the Ignatian stuff to Star Wars. I think as I learn more and more Ignatian spirituality, it dawns on me that like, oh, this look at this play out in you know these different stories that I love. Mm-hmm. I think also Ignatius, you know, was a knight, you know, so he deals in these kind of epic images of good versus evil, the battle on the field, you know, and you know, that those are the images that are written into, you know, the spiritual exercises. I think for me, one of the curiosities I had was like, you know, folks watching Star Wars who might not be spiritually engaged, or maybe they've had a bad experience with some sort of religious organization, but you like Star Wars, you might say to yourself, boy, oh boy, there's something here. There's something spiritual here, and it's drawing me in. I think Ignatian spirituality is a good, you know, can give a good language for that experience. You know, even if you're not ready yet to make a leap into a, you know, more, you know, a bigger religious experience, you can say, oh, this, the language of Ignatian spirituality helps me unpack some of these terms. And then you go from there. And then you kind of, you know, Ignatian spirituality is all about engaging Christ, right? So, you know, I think there's a sense where Star Wars can be a really helpful entry point, and any story, really, any of these kind of epic stories, an entry point into a deeper faith experience that might be more comfortable and more authentic for folks than necessarily just, you know, randomly walking into a church door or you know, showing up, you know, somewhere that's more obviously religious. So that was kind of one of the hypotheses I've had with the book, and I think it's kind of borne out. So we'll see.
I think so. Interesting part of this book that I found unusual, I guess, is that there are reflecting questions at the end of each chapter. Is this intended to be a mini retreat or a prompt for journal reflection?
Yeah, exactly right. So one of the key prayers of the Ignatian tradition is the examen, right? It's essentially an invitation by St. Ignatius to all, you know, Jesuits and lay folks alike to really once or twice a day to stop and go through your day in prayer, in the company of God's Spirit, with gratitude for all that God is, the gifts that God is giving. And now that's obviously very religious language. And so based on my previous answer, I wasn't going to say, okay, now we're going to turn the page from Star Wars and give gratitude to God. But I do think that that is a muscle that we can begin to exercise. How are we kind of constantly developing this disposition to gratitude for the many gifts that God has given us? And so that's what each of those chapters ends with, is kind of a Star Wars examen based on the themes of the chapter. It's not, you know, an examen. And if you're used to the examen, you'll see it there, but it's not like a, you know, here are the five steps, but there are pieces there that are meant to evoke in you that sense of gratitude, self-reflection, going back through your own life story, but then tying it to kind of key moments in Star Wars that I think, again, is kind of just riddled with this spiritual depth.
And it can help people look at perhaps the Star Wars saga in new and different ways, which is a good thing.
For sure.
Well, our guest this segment has been Eric Clayton, author of My Life with the Jedi, The Spirituality of Star Wars. It's available from Loyola Press at loyolapress.com, on Amazon and other booksellers. You can get more info on Eric himself at ericclaytonwrites.com. We're going to take a little break, and when we return, George Matisek talks with Libby Smith, author of The Coin Flip, a short historical novel inspired by a real event. I'm Christopher Gunty. You are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
The Archdiocese of Baltimore makes the protection of children a leading priority in its parishes, schools, and other ministries. The Archdiocese seeks to keep kids safe through training and background checks and by implementing a zero-tolerance policy for anyone credibly accused of abusing a child. For more information about the Archdiocese's efforts to keep our children safe, please visit www.archbalt.org/accountability.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. The West Baltimore community celebrated a historic milestone April 25th as Archbishop William E. Laurie led a groundbreaking ceremony for Catholic Charities of Baltimore's new Intergenerational Center. Held on the grounds of the former Alexander Hamilton Elementary School, located at 800 Poplar Grove Street, the ceremony culminated years of planning and community collaboration. The Intergenerational Center aims to serve as a hub for lifelong learning, support, and community engagement. With a diverse range of services and programs, including Head Start classrooms, workforce development initiatives, health and wellness services, and recreational areas such as basketball courts, the center seeks to support individuals at every stage of life. Catholic Charities will repurpose the current school structure at a cost of approximately $32 million, funded mostly by private donations and state support. When completed, the Intergenerational Center will be a 55,000 square foot building spanning three stories. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. Visiting a lagoon of tiny islands, canals, and narrow walkways for one day, Pope Francis moved around Venice by boat, bridge, and electric golf cart. Tourists and residents, however, came to a standstill. Many were marooned in small neighborhoods as security shut down entire streets and severely limited regular waterway traffic. The Pope's early morning touchdown by helicopter from Rome, April 28th, brought him first to a women's prison, then by wooden motorboat to the Basilica of St. Mary of Health, a 17th century church built to honor Mary, invoking her protection and intercession to end a devastating plague that killed nearly one-third of the population in the 1630s. About 1,500 young people were in front of the basilica singing and cheering to greet the Pope as he arrived, waving from the boat decorated with a small Vatican flag. The Pope told his audience to walk together with others, saying, quote, "Color the world with your creativity and paint the streets of life with the gospel," end quote. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. For Catholic Review Media, I'm Kevin Parks.
Remember the spirit of your parish community, the power of worshiping together, the warmth of friends new and old who share your faith. Join us for Mass this weekend. Visit archbell.org to find a Catholic parish near you. Feel the joy.
This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matisek. In this segment, we're talking with Elizabeth Libby Smith, who is the author of a new book called The Coin Flip. Libby is a former parishioner of St. Isaac Jogues in Kearney, and she currently worships with the Catholic community at Oakcrest Retirement Community. Libby, thanks so much for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
Thank you, George. I'm thrilled to be here and talk with you. Thank you so much for having me.
So what was the inspiration for this book?
Well, about 6 years ago, my cousin gave me a copy of an article that he found in the newspaper years and years ago. And the newspaper article was so darn inspiring that I couldn't stop thinking about it for like several months. It just constantly was on my mind. And that made me feel like I needed to write a book about it. I had no intentions of writing a book in my life. I'm 76, so I didn't expect to do that. But the Holy Spirit, I guess, inspired me to write this because it was very inspirational. It's about two young men who come from Ireland to America in 1857, and they're vying for the very same dream of a lifetime. Only one will win and the other will lose. Or will God intervene with his own plans? So this book, The Coin Flip, is all about trusting in God's plan and purpose for our own lives more than we plan, that we know his plan is more important than ours.
Without giving too much away about the ending of the book, could you talk about the significance of the title? What does the coin flip signify?
Okay. Well, Joe Quigley, who is the main character, he came from Ireland, and on the ship over to America, he met a friend, and his friend one time said to him, "Well, you know, I want to be a priest also." So he said, "But you know what, Joe, I don't think either of us have enough money for seminary, so why don't we flip a coin, hence the title, and have the loser pay the winner to go through seminary?" So Joe Quigley was very reluctant, because he was afraid he might lose, but he went and said, "Okay, all right, we'll do that." Well, then he was devastated. He truly was devastated. And this is a true story. It was my great-grandfather who this happened to. And so he was a good sport. He paid his friend every single week for years to go through seminary. In the meantime, he got a job. They landed in New York. He worked there for a while. Then he went over to, he moved up to Pennsylvania. And then I won't say the rest because it's pretty exciting about what happened after that. But the coin flip is about the the actual toss of a coin to see who goes to seminary, who pays for the other to go through. Joe Quigley, he had to accept the fact that he lost the coin flip. And so he was angry and he was resentful, but he did pray and he got healing from God and his life went on. And then he trusted very much in God's way. And later on in life, he was overjoyed by the outcome of what happened in his life. God was revealing to him later some happy blessings and very surprised blessings. And so he was really happy at the end. And so I think it resonates with all of us how we need to trust in God's plan for our lives, because it does give us peace, gives us lots of peace if we can just let go and just know that he's in charge. And one time my mother used to say, well, you can accept everything, even hanging, if you hang long enough. So I kind of thought of that when I wrote the book too.
In what ways do you think the struggles faced by your characters in the story resonate with contemporary audiences, especially regarding questions of faith and belonging?
I think that probably everybody at one time or another could resonate with that, because we all have troubles in our lives. And if we do what he did, pray for acceptance and try to trust, then we receive peace. And then we have acceptance. And then we always should remember too that good comes out of bad. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a good takeaway, the idea of the peace and that something good will actually occur because of trusting in the Lord.
What kind of research went into the book, and how much is it based on historical fact, and how much creative license do you put in it? I know it's a blend of both. Could you talk about that?
Well, yeah. I couldn't stand research. I'm not a computer person, so that was not pleasant to do all the research. But in a way, it was sort of interesting too, though. But the creative fun part was when I did the my own input with the dialogue and just different creative scenes. That part is fun. I wrote another book prior to this about 9 years ago, and not expecting to either, called Twin Strokes, about a little girl who had Guillain-Barré syndrome. But anyway, the research did take a while, but it was kind of interesting. And my husband was a good help with the computer part of it. And the creative part was really fun. And the research, I guess, It was a mix because it was really truly an absolute happening, but I put it into a inspirational fiction just to enlarge the story of what happened to my great grandfather.
Had your family been familiar with this story prior to finding that article that you mentioned?
I only know of two cousins. I have about 14 cousins, and I only knew of two that said that they had heard about it. They didn't know all the details, but they had heard about the actual coin flip. But nobody else that I know of, not in my immediate family, not my siblings, they never knew about it. And so it was only two older cousins that told me that they knew. So it was all very happy surprise and very interesting to all of us that occurred. Hmm.
What was the newspaper? Do you remember which publication it was?
I think it was Baltimore Sun back in 1950 something, which would have been 100 years after this coin flip occurred. So it was from Baltimore Sun in the 50s, sometime in the 50s.
Mm-hmm. What has been the reception so far to the book?
Oh, I've had nothing but great reviews. I've been very blessed with everybody who's read it, told me that they love it, that it was heartwarming, that they couldn't put the book down. It's written in a way that it's easy to read because it's double spaced, and it's a quick read because people like it and just don't want to stop. That's what I've been told many times, and I'm not bragging about it. It's just truly what I've been told. Mm-hmm. It was published in July of 23. So I think so far I've sold maybe about 400 copies, but I plan to try to present it more readily. And it can be ordered on Amazon. It can be ordered from Barnes & Noble and from my own website, www.thecoinflipbook.com. And on my website, you'll see where you can get it from Amazon. And you can have a review about it. There is a picture and a review of the book. So that might help people who are interested.
Well, our guest this segment has been Elizabeth Libby Smith, and she is the author of a new book called The Coin Flip. Libby, thanks so much again for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it, George. God bless.
God bless. For Catholic Review Radio, I'm George Matusek. Thanks for listening.
The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full-time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice-weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at catholicreview.org. That's catholicreview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week. Available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.